Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us this evening to study your word and then pray together. Lord, I pray that you would keep those pain attacks from happening until after the message is done, if it be your will. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each one who's connected on Zoom. Pray that you would encourage their hearts, use your word in their hearts as well. And may we all glorify you, Lord, in every aspect of what happens tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I've been concerned for some time about dangerous deceptions Satan has been able to get many Christians to swallow in the last 70 years, especially. What concerns me even more is that it's possible that some of you unknowingly have been taken in by these deceptions as well. The Lord continues to lead me in this. I may take the needed time in the coming weeks to expose a number of these deceptions so that you can check to see whether or not it has happened to you, and so that you can then combat those deceptions by the truth. I want to lay a foundation for that today by bringing to your attention once again a key reason Christians fail to detect Satan's deceptions. We find that in our text. So would you follow along in your Bible as I read for us Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. This evening, I want to leave with you a few thoughts to meditate on concerning the Word of God. I'm concerned about today's generation's appalling decrease in ability to comprehend anything but very simple language. I'd like to draw your attention to the innate laziness of our flesh that we need to be aware of and that we need to combat on a daily basis. I believe I've mentioned this before, and I'll do it again. You cannot think without words. Yes, it's possible to feel without words, but it's impossible to think logically and analytically without the use of actual words. It's no wonder, then, that God emphasizes the use of written and spoken words, and that he regularly commands us to listen to and meditate on his word. Notice what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." A vital truth to understand here is that biblical truth is conveyed through words. In the New Testament, there are two Greek words that are translated as word in English. The Greek noun most often translated as word in the New Testament is logos. This word refers more to a complete message than to an individual word, but keep in mind that this complete message is made up of individual words. Hence, the reason it is legitimately translated by the English noun word. The other Greek noun that is translated as word, but is less often found in the New Testament, is rhema. This noun refers more often to an individual word or short phrase as opposed to a complete message. The point is then that the process of thinking requires words, and conveying those thoughts requires words. That means that every truth that God has communicated to us has been through the means of both spoken and written words, actual words. You might be saying in your mind right now, "All right, already, what's your point? I'm glad you asked." What would Satan's strategy be then to try to keep God's word out of our minds? Well, one way would be to try to destroy God's word. Has he tried that strategy? Oh, yes. Over the years, popes, emperors, and communist despots have been used by Satan to try this strategy by outlawing its possession and burning any copies they could find. But praise the Lord, he promised his word would not pass away. Mark 13:31, as well as Luke 21:33, both say the same thing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Another more refined strategy of Satan's would be to try to corrupt the message of God's word in its copying and in its translation to other languages. Has Satan tried that strategy? Yep, he's tried that too. But again, as we just read in Mark and Luke, God promised that his words, logoi, would not pass away. That logoi is plural of logos. God has preserved his word by the multiplicity of the manuscripts that are still available to compare and narrow down the variations in the manuscripts to the original reading by careful comparison and analysis. And God has also preserved the correct translation of his word by faithful translators and Bible scholars who carefully check the manuscripts and the entirety of Scripture to make sure that how they have translated every passage is faithful and consistent with the rest of the scriptures. Yes, there are careless translations and even deliberate mistranslations of God's word that have been printed and distributed. However, if anyone really cares to know what God actually wrote, there are good translations available in many of the languages spoken today. An even more refined strategy of Satan's appears to be to distract even would-be Bible readers from listening to and comprehending the Word of God. How has Satan done this? Well, he's done it by using technology and entertainment to increasingly lower the ability of children and teens to concentrate on words. Today, if the spoken words are not accompanied by rock music or spectacular visual effects or actions, children don't hear or comprehend or retain but a small percentage of the words that come to their ears. They've been trained by default not to think and not to listen and not to read with comprehension. I think I've mentioned before a young man in another province to whom I gave the gospel many years ago and who seemed to have responded with genuine repentance and faith. Sadly, many years later, I received some reports about this professing Christian that caused me to seriously question the genuineness of his conversion. I remember that at the time that he prayed the sinner's prayer and seemed genuinely to want to be discipled, I urged him to read the gospel according to John, and after that, the rest of the New Testament. He immediately asked me, "Is there a video version of it that I can watch?" That right there, I believe, was the root of his later spiritual problems. He did not understand the importance of the written word, whether through reading it himself or at least hearing it read aloud. Maybe you have good comprehension of the written and spoken word, but do you find yourself looking for an easier, can we say lazier, way to get through that daily Bible reading time? I believe both of these reasons, lowered ability to concentrate on words and increased laziness in reading, have made it profitable for careless and undiscerning entrepreneurs to produce and successfully market products like the Watchword Bible DVD, which was brought to my attention a number of years ago in a Christian newsletter article. Let me read some excerpts from this article in the Berean Call for you. The Watchword Bible DVD is marketed with the notion that users will be, quote, amazed at how easy and compelling it is to read God's Word with the Watchword Bible. Its innovative video format makes reading scripture effortless, end of quote. It may be seen as effortless because the video presents the text of the Bible in the contemporary English version on screen along with narration. No reading is really required. One may simply listen. The potential buyer is told, beautiful video scenes engage and hold your attention. Large, easy-to-read Bible text comes on and off the screen in perfect harmony with the narration. Music and sound effects help capture your heart. The Bible couldn't be easier to read. One wonders how video scenes that, quote, engage and hold, end quote, our attention are not more distracting than useful. The writer of Psalm 119, verse 11, tells us, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It is the word itself that should capture and hold our heart. Sound effects and music may simply be distracting. That's the end of the article. That article rightly points out the danger of the Watchword Bible on several counts. Number one, it promises that reading God's word will take no effort. That itself not only endorses spiritual laziness, but also it is contrary to God's purpose for his word. You are to study God's word and compare scripture with scripture and meditate on it, which means to think about it in order to apply it accurately to your life and situation. The second thing is that it puts interpretive, distracting video scenes along with the scripture reading, making it that much harder to truly study God's word or meditate on it. A third problem, it tempts the viewer to make this video substitute for Bible reading the main or only way he gets the word into his mind and heart. One major weakness with this way, in addition to what has already been mentioned, is that when the Holy Spirit would lead you to pause and spend time on a particular truth you've just read, the video continues to run, tempting you to just go ahead and let it keep going. In my daily Bible reading, I often will park on a phrase or sentence in the scripture passage I am reading and sometimes read that part over and over and think about it and even look up some cross-references that shed more light on that truth. None of that is possible with this video-enhanced avenue of reading scripture. Watch out for Satan's strategies to keep God's word out of your heart and mind. Counteract Satan's tricks and the laziness of your flesh by committing yourself to daily Bible reading, true literal reading, in an environment that eliminates distractions and promotes studying and meditating on God's word. If you do so, you'll lay a foundation of spiritual insight and protection from the deceptions of Satan that are multiplying in number and effectiveness in today's world. Psalm 1 says, How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. May the Lord use the principles that we've studied tonight about God's word to find deep root in our hearts, and may it change the way we view God's word and give us wisdom to combat Satan's strategies to take away God's word out of our minds and hearts. Let's go ahead and pray before we share prayer requests. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you, Lord, for Psalm 1, especially the first three verses that remind us how important it is to know your word, to read it, to study it, to meditate on it. And Lord, I pray that we would be serious about reading your word, that we wouldn't gloss over it, we wouldn't just speed read it, but Lord, that we would be thinking about what we read and allow your Holy Spirit to apply it to our hearts and our situation. I pray now, Father, as we take time to share prayer requests and praise points, that we will jot these down, we'll remember these, and pray for one another as your word enjoins us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.